Okay, Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. My gosh, we're already holding on daf tes. I mean, like, whew, this is sort of creeping up on us fast. Okay, so we're holding on daf tes, and once again, let's just find ourselves in the complex placement over here of what's been happening. So we were talking about b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam when it comes to the question of a get shichrur. And we got into the question about what happens where there are other things that are included in that shtar. So a person, remember, when he gives his eved a shichrur, at that moment the eved becomes capable of kinyanim, and so he can give him at that same time other property as part of the shichrur. But it's also possible to phrase the shichrur of the eved in terms of the general nechasim. So in other words, in giving this eved kol nechasai, even if they don't mention the eved, we would also be mishachrer the eved. Now the question is, in a case where we're going to have to say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam, what would be the din about property that was mentioned at the same time? So it's all very nice to say that we have a special takana derabbanan when it comes to b'fanai nechtam, that we have a concept of taking the place of kiyum shtarot with the shtar, because the shliach is put into the position of needing to say b'fanai nechtam, it counts as the equivalent of kiyum shtarot. That's only true in two cases in the whole story of shtarot, namely Gitei Nashim and Gitei Avadim. But we certainly cannot take the place of Kiyum Shtoreis on a normal business shtar where somebody's trying to transfer property and he's going to say, well, b'fanai nechtam, so you don't need to have a Kiyum of the Eidus. That's absurd. So the question would be, what happens in a situation where you have the two things together? Somebody writes to an Eved, Kol Nechasai Kinuyim Lecha. Now there the Eved is being Kinyan himself because he's part of an overall statement of Kol Nechasai. The problem is that I don't believe B'fanai Nechtav or B'fanai Nechtam to take the place of Kiyum Shtarot on anything else. So when I wrote the words Kol Nechasai, I meant to include all my property together with the Eved. But in reality, the Shtar becomes useful only in terms of the Eved. And Rava nonetheless said, well, if that's the case, there's still no problem. The Eved will be free, but he will not get the property because the property doesn't have any kind of real shtar din until it's mikuyam. And it's not mikuyam, but the Eved part of it is mikuyam. Now that Abaya disagreed with, and Abaya said, listen, it's an all or nothing situation. If you're not going to be able to be mekabel this shtar as being a valid shtar with the statement of b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, then not only will he not be able to be kena the property, he will not be able to be kena himself. So yesterday we pointed out right at the end of the daf that we had this attack of Ravada Barmazda on Rav, and that he seems to be saying specifically Aliba the Rebbe Shimon. So let's start from there again, just to review it briefly. And this would be four lines up from the bottom on Chesomet Beis. Amalei Rav Adar Bar Masna Rava, what you are saying only makes sense according to Rebbe Shimon. And the problem is, as I'm going to show you, is that we don't paskin like Rebbe Shimon. So come on, Rebbe Shimon, the Omar Pagina Dibura. And remember that again, we explained yesterday, there's two totally different types of Pagina Dibura. There's a Pagina Dibura in that we only hear part of what you said and we don't hear the other part because it's not suitable for testimony in a case where, let's say, you're the Baal Dova. And there's another Pagina Dibura in which we believe entirely everything that you said, except in the shtar, only some of it is relevant. Namely, the B'fanai Nechtav, B'fanai Nechtam. Yes, we believe you, but it's only relevant in terms of the shichrur. There's no relevance to the statement of b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam when it comes to the rest of the shtar for normal chasim. Nonetheless, you're saying we can split that type of pagina dibura, we can split it into two, and we will accept the entirety of what it is that you're saying in terms of the kiyum of the shtar, at least in view of the eved. if not for the other issues of the Nechassim. But that happens to be Rabbi Shimon's Shita, as I will show you. HaKotev Kol Nechassav La'avdo Yotza Ben Chorin, but if he was Mishayer Karka Korshu, Lo Yotza Ben Chorin. So having left over something, the Tanakhama says, if you leave over something, then you're not Yotze in Techeres. Okay, that seems to be very much this idea of I left out a piece of property, and since I left out a piece of property, this shtar is therefore not going to be applicable to the Eved either. We spoke about that a bit yesterday, but we won't get into it again. Rabbi Shimon says, under any and all circumstances, I couldn't care less whether you did or you didn't leave out anything, but when it comes to the Eved, he's always a Ben-Chorin. Why do we care if some of the property or all of the property wasn't given to him? And that was the case in the Tanakhama, the way Rashi understood it. Remember, I mentioned the big machlokas rishonim, where the guy left out something from the shtar. I'm giving you all of my property except for one field. And in that case, according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't matter. Even though, again, this is how Rashi learns, even though you're not going to be able to take any field at all, because the guy said one field, so anything that you're coming to take, he'll say, well, that's the field that I meant. Prove that that's not the field that I meant. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, the only thing that this shtar is useful for is the shichrur, because you can't get anything else out of it. Nonetheless, this is a perfectly good situation of a shtar shichrur, unless he said, I'm giving you everything that I own except for 1/10,000th of my property, because that may be a message to the Eved. That's about what you're worth to me, less than 1/10,000th. So in other words, he doesn't get anything, right? So we have no idea. Maybe that's what he worked. Maybe that's what he meant. But where it's not the possible explanation that what he left out was the Eved itself, then the Eved will go free. Okay. So then when you say he's always, Li'olam hu ben chorin, so in other words, you're saying, even if he just left out, without any explanation, a field, which would mean that I won't be able to give you anything of the property. Nonetheless, the Eved goes out. So in other words, that means I could split, according to Rabbi Shimon, what you're saying into two parts. I wrote a contract claiming that I'm giving you all my property, and in reality, you're not getting one darn cent. All you're getting is yourself. So the whole part about property was just a bunch of garbage. Again, this is how Rashi learns. And if that's the case, then obviously, Pagina Dibori, we say, listen, Binogea the Eved, he means what the Shtar says. It's still, I mean, the Eved isn't a piece of property. So for that, it's still useful. And despite the fact that the person indicates that there was property that was meant to be given along with that, with the Shtar, okay, so it doesn't work for that. Who cares? But it works for whatever it works for. Now, you Rava, that's what you're saying, right? It works for whatever it works for. It's true that you're referring to an entire document, and the entire document cannot be validated by that statement. But okay, whatever it works for, it works for. As you can see here, the similarity between Rabbi Shimon's case and Rava. And this is the problem that Ravada Bar Masna has. Because as he continues, says Ravada Bar Masna, look, it's all very nice that you agree with Rabbi, you're following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon over here. The only problem is that Rabbi Yossi ben Binyomi quoted Rabbi Nachman as saying, even though Rabbi Yossi sang a song of praise to Rabbi Shimon, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, the halacha is with Rabbi Meir, who was the Tanakhama over here. And therefore, I don't know how you are able to be doicha the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Who backs you on this? The Tanya. Where do I see that Rabbi Yossi said that Rabbi Shimon's pshat is beautiful? The Tanya and the Braita says, Kishenemru dvorim lifnei Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Yossi heard the two shitas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, he said, oh, Rabbi Shimon's pshat is so beautiful. Karlava mikra ze, svataim yishak meshiv dvorim nechochim. You should kiss with your lips somebody that brings such beautiful pshat. Anyway, nonetheless, Reb Nachman says, we paskin like Rabbi Meir, which l'chora means that we cannot be Pagin and Dibure. And if we can't be Pagin and Dibure, how do we say Befanai Nechtav? Befanai Nechtav helps for a get shichrur that is phrased in such a way that the Eved isn't mentioned openly, but only in terms of all my property, and yet it only works for the Eved and not the property. That doesn't follow. That's the question. Asks the Gemara, excuse me, but your understanding over here, Rav Yosef Barman Yumi, cannot be right. Because the way you're understanding Reb Nachman, when he said we don't paskin like Reb Yossi and the halachas like Rebbe Meir, you think that he was referring to the issue of pagin and dibure. Well, he wasn't. Because how can you say such a thing? Mi omer Reb Nachman, achi, you really believe that according to Reb Nachman, we don't say pagin and dibure? Vi omer Reb Yossi Barman Yumi, omer Reb Nachman. Here we have the same situation. Remember that there's a din called Eshtar Shchiv Meira, or the statement of a Shchiv Meira. So somebody is on his deathbed, and he's giving away his property. We have a special takana over there, which states that in order to prevent psychological distress, which may hasten the death of the person that is attempting to work out his last moments to give his property to whom he wishes, anything that a Shchiv Meira says under those in extremis situations is considered to be binding, kichtuvim u'misurim, despite the fact that there was no shtar and there was no kinyan and so on and so forth. Okay, special takana drabonan, in which we have the equivalent of a kinyan because of the deadly seriousness of in extremis, right? Okay, now, in a case where a shchiv meira, who gave over all of what he owns in a shtar to an eved, and then, guess what happens? He was dying one minute, and the next morning he gets up and he's feeling fine. Well, okay. Besides getting him a psychotherapist, what do we do? What do we do about the shtar that he wrote out? Well, the din is that if a person gave away things in extremis, then he, when he discovers that he wasn't dying, he could be chozer ben chasim. So he changes his mind, then he keeps it all. I thought I was dying. I was giving everything away. I'll be keeping this for the next 100 years. Fine. So now, the issue is, but what about the Eved? So it says over there, he can actually change his mind when it comes to the property, but he cannot change his mind when it comes to the Shichrur of the Eved. Chozer, ve'eno chozer be'eved. Why not? He can chozer be'nechasim because this is a matna shchiv meira. That's the din of a matna shchiv meira. If it turns out that the person ended up surviving, then his words that were said in extremis are not binding. But he cannot be chozer with the Eved. Why? Because the Eved actually became a Ben Chorin at that one moment. Because it was Chal at the time. It's Yubi Chozer. Shari Yatzalav Shem Ben Chorin. Once a person becomes a Ben Chorin, even if it's just for a moment, you can never take him back because the Chalos of the Shem means that now he's a free man. How are you going to get him back? Now, if that's the case, Reb Nachman is saying he believes pagin and diburai. Because in this case, the guy wrote one statement. Kol nechasai are mesurim to this Eved, right? He didn't say two separate things. He didn't separate the Eved from the nechasim. He said kol nechasai. Okay, so it's not binding on the rest of the nechasim, but it's totally binding on the part of the Eved. Now, this is Reb Nachman. And you just claimed that actually, what Reb Nachman was saying is that we don't hold of pagin and dibure. And here's Reb Nachman himself saying that it's pagin and dibure. So what do you mean? So Rav is 100% right. There's got to be some other principle over here because it must be that Reb Nachman does hold pagin and dibure. So how do you explain the fact that Reb Nachman paskin like Rabbi Meir, who does not hold of pagin and dibure? Answers the Gemara. I mean, it's not really an answer. In a sense, it's the conclusion of the proof that what Rava said makes sense, and there was never any kasha on him. Elo Amar Rav Ashi, there is no problem over here. We're dealing with two separate issues. You're the one who's jumping to the conclusion that the cases are similar. They're not similar at all. The reason that Rabbi Meir says that the Eved is not able to be yotze with that shichra that included other nechassim when the other nechassim are not actually given to him has nothing to do with the issue of pagin and dibura at all. The reason was in mishum de lav krut gitahi. Remember that we have a din of a katav la sefer kritut, right? Sefer kritut means there cannot be any ambiguity and anything at all that establishes some sort of tenuous bond between the man and his wife. Now, the din of shichurei avodim is learnt out from a gezeira shava, from the kotav la sefer kritut, where we learn out law means lishma with all of the attendant issues, to the case of the freeing of a shivcha, where it says chufsha lo nitan la. We darshan that la as one of the famous gezeira shavas, which provides all of the dinim of gittin to shichurei avodim. That would mean that one of those dinim is kritut. It has to be absolutely clear that this is kritut. In a case where you never mention that the eved goes out to freedom, all you said was, my property is yours, the very fact that the property is not yours means that this is a shiur, and it's not a full-scale, clear-cut, absolute division between, in this case, the master and his eved, and in the case of an isha, the baal and ishto. So because Rabbi Meir wasn't even talking about Pargina Diburai, then the fact that Rabbi Nachman says that we paskin like Rabbi Meir has nothing to do with Pargina Diburai either. And the fact that Rabbi Nachman is ready to say Pargina Diburai in this case of the Shechiv Mira is fine. So that's true about Rava as well. Rava, who said that we say Pargina Diburai, that's true according to Rabbi Meir also. Rava's case has nothing to do with Kruz Gita. Rava's case was just a question of whether Fanai Nichtam or Fanai Nechtam is applicable to the property that's in the shtar or only to the Eved. What does that have to do with Kruz Gita? I mean, we're talking about two different things here, and you got them all mixed up. Leave me alone. And Rava makes perfectly good sense, and he's not going only on Libet Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir was never discussing Pagina Dibura, and can we please get on with it? Okay. So now the next thing in the Mishnah was, Im Yesh Alav Ororin, Yitkaimu Bechotamav. Now, what exactly do we mean by these Ororin? What are the Ororin? How are these Ororin? It is now, basically, this thing is being brought to court, and it's contested. What is the contesting of this get? And it's got to be something that it would make sense to say that if it was confirmed in terms of the Khatima and we have a henpeck, so then fine. But if not, not. What would that be? So when you're talking about RR, how many people are involved in this attempt to say that the get was whatever? It was improperly signed, it wasn't done mishma, whatever it is they're asking. Is it one person? Ilema RR chad. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan has a standard psak, which is nobody holds that a court is going to even consider an attack on a document if it has less than two people that are being made against that document, okay? And if we're talking about an RR tray, if we actually have two witnesses that bring basis to the court to say that this shtar is not a kosher shtar, so then what good is it to have the edim on the shtar being mekuyamim? It's still going to be a case of two against two. So how are we going to say, and if there's any problem with the get, just go ahead and make sure that you get a key of it. And that's crazy. Any problem? Even two people? Why believe two against two? It's trey v'trey ninu. So my chazita desamachta hani smocha hani. What makes you believe the edim that are signed above and beyond the edim that are testifying that this is a forgery? Answers the Gemara, you're absolutely right. We are not talking about external attacks on the get. We're talking about where the Baal is ma'arer. So the question over here is, the husband is claiming that he never gave a get. So in that case, we know that we do need kiyum shtarot in order, as Tosfos understood it before, in order to avoid the laws that's associated with an attack by the Baal. People are going to be saying, like, this woman went ahead, got a phony get, got married, she's got a bunch of mamzerim, and so on and so forth. So to avoid that type of situation, we need to be able to throw out what the Baal says and not even allow it into the courtroom. And in the end, therefore, he's not going to make a fool of himself. So we avoid this problem. And that's what it's talking about, the RR of the Baal, which brings us to one of those seminal moments in which our very own captain gives us the words for the future. Now, how about And of course, we've discussed this Mishnah before, so it will look very familiar to you. How about someone who's maybe get Medina Tayam, but he's unable to say, Befanai Nechta, Befanai Nechta? What happens then? Well, if there's Edim signed on the get, you could always go through the standard way of doing things. I mean, Shliach didn't say Befanai Nechta, Befanai Nechta. So we cannot, therefore, consider this get to be a proper get. But, I mean, if you could be Mekayim the get, then that's just as good Befanai Nechta, Befanai Nechta. You remember that we asked this on Rabbah, and we said, excuse me, Rabbah, but according to you, how do we know that this get was written Lishma if we don't have Fanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam? And remember, Rabbah said, well, all of these other cases are talking about Li'achar Shalomdu, right? And now there's no problem of Lishma, and therefore, even though we keep it in effect, Fanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam, in the event that things will go back to the way they were, but that's a secondary gezerah, and that secondary gezerah was not made to passel the get, bidi avat. It was only meant to strengthen the part of the isha. Okay, so just to remind you, that's why the Mishnah sounds so familiar, because we've looked into this from the point of view of Rabbah before. Now, this is true. All of these dinim that we've been talking about until now, this is a transition here in this Mishnah, to the rest of the parak, basically, we're going to be moving on to the dinim of shichrurei avonim. So at this point, we're saying you should know that this takana of b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam is one of the issues that we need to discuss about the interrelationship of gitei noshim and gitim of shichrurei avonim. Remember, the word gitei noshim is specifically gitei noshim, but the word get, bi'alma, could mean any contract, except that, as we've seen, it's become standard to utilize it as a shorthand. So the get, and we talked about why the Gra points out that the gimel tet is a great word for specifically gitei noshim. So echad gitei noshim, echad shichrurei avadim have the same din in terms of bringing the get from chutz la'aretz, teretz yisrael, and all of those other halachas of medina lebedina, b'medina atayam, and so on. And this, however, is just one of the ways. So achat min adrachim, sheshavu gitei noshim, there are many ways in which we're going to find that we have the same dinim because we have a gzeira shava. So if you have a gzeira shava, that means that for sure all of the dinim d'oraisa are going to be applicable across the board. Now, as we asked before, or actually we were quoting this gemara when we asked before, what exactly do you mean when you say that he cannot state the Bifanai nechta, bifanai nechta? What do you mean he cannot state? What? He's a cheresh and he's unable to speak? I mean, then you wouldn't have been able to make him a shliach to bring the get anyway. Because cheresh bari to yagita, didn't we have in the Mishnah later on, hakol kesherim laviyat haget chutz b'cheresh shayt v'katan? So that can't be the case. He couldn't have been a shliach olacha. Omrev Yosef, actually, achmer eskinan, he wasn't a cheresh, was perfectly valid shliach. And he gave the get as he was a pikeach, meaning a normal mentality. He was about to say those words, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, and he suddenly got a stroke. Achnet chareshi, he was unable to speak. So that means that the shlichut was mikuyemet, but the statement wasn't possible. Now, you said echad gitei nashim v'yachshe shichrurei avadim, and what are the other ways? Well, we have a braita that talks about some of the other issues, and it's important for us to get into the sugya by first getting an overview. We bring this braita, Tanur Rabbanan, b'shlosha drachim shavu gitei nashim l'shichrurei avadim. There are three things in which they are exactly the same, as we just stated in our Mishnah, shavu l'malach l'mevi. This din, if I maybe get married to Israel or Leah to Israel, all of that is true both about the woman and about the Eved. The second thing that they're similar is kol get sheyesh alav eid kuti pasal. In the event that we have normally on a get, meaning a normal contract, other than gitei nashim shichrurei avadim, a normal contract cannot be validated by the signature of a kuti, because we have a question b'chol whether kutim have a din of Yisraelim or not, but in any event, this braita is basically going according to Man Yomar that they are Gere Emet, but you can't use Kutum. It's not telling you something obvious that's the same as having the Goy signed on it. We'll see that there's actually a difference. So this braita is going according to Man Yomar, who holds that Kutim are not Gere Arayot, but we don't trust them. And they don't give Edus Kshera, and therefore, normally it would be possible. The only place where you can accept such a Edus is Davka for Gitei Nashim Vishichrure Avon. And we're going to talk later on why in the world this is true. And another thing, which is similar, that all Shtarot, normally, meaning in this case all other types of Shtarot, that are Olim Barka Ochelav De Kochavim. These are secular shtarot that have gone through the civil courts. They have, are not at all Mekuyam or anything by a Beis Din. And what's more, the signatories are Goyim. So Afal Pi Shechotmeim of De Kochavim, all officially recognized shtarot by the government, are kosher shtarot, even though they do not have anything that is normally required for a shtar between Yisraelim. The very fact that the government recognizes the shtarot is dina de malchuta dina. So once we're dealing with something that the malchut has connection to, and remember the malchut does have connection to dinim, because Goyim are mitzvah and dinim as well, and we recognize, therefore, the dinah de malchuta. However, since these Goyim are not included in the Teras, Gittin, and Kiddushin, so they don't have a concept of Torah-recognized Kiddushin or Torah-recognized Gerushin, there's therefore no way that they can create a performative shtar that would achieve Gittin v'Kiddushin. So we're going to talk about the Kiddushin part later, why we don't talk about Kiddushin. But therefore, since over here, they don't have the din either of the Shichrure Avodim, which we learn out Lola Miisha. So therefore, it wouldn't be kosher if it were a get or if it was a Shichrur, even though it's stamped, signed, and delivered by Her Majesty's, well, once it was Her Majesty, now it's His Majesty's, a court of law. Now, Rabbi Meir, however, this is the Tanakhama, but Rabbi Meir says there's actually four ways that they are similar, because you have to add one additional thing, and that is, if somebody says, Tein get ze le'ishti, or he says, Tein shtar shichur ze le'avdi, if he wants to change his mind, he can change his mind until the actual delivery of the get to the woman or to the eved. And this is because, according to Rabbi Meir, the idea is that unless it was Magia Liyada, see, normally, if you were giving something to someone, and you sent someone to deliver it by Shtar, that person would be Zoche in it for you. Why? Because it's a schus for you to get this $10 million building that has just been granted to you gratis, right? So therefore, since he becomes effectively your shliach, the moment it comes to his hand, we definitely know that you would be very happy for his hand to be an extension of your hand. So if he's bringing it to you, you already got it. But when we're talking about a shtar that is chova to you, the moment that this woman gets this get, she's no longer going to be able to, I mean, there may be great advantages to being divorced, but there's also disadvantages. So now she's not going to be able to get her mizonot and things like that, right? So because of that, we wait until it actually arrives in her hand to be mekam. There's no umdana that she'd be happy as a general rule. So she would have to make the guy a shliach kabbalah. The same thing is true when it comes to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, well, an Eved is certainly happy to go free, isn't he? So because of that, if you give a person a get shichrur, it would also be a shliach, we'll assume, on the part of the Eved. He's very happy to get his freedom. So according to Rabbi Meir, you could actually in the case of Tein Getzeh, you would think that the Shtar Shichror would be good, but as we'll see, Havadim may prefer the status of Avdus because it gives them access to free sex, which is very useful for them. So this was a question whether that's considered to, what's considered to be more important. But in any event, according to Rabbi Meir, until it actually arrives in his hands, it's able to be mevutal by the person who sent it. Okay, so according to the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Meir, even though obviously you could be chayzer beget, but since they hold that for an eved, it's not necessarily a good thing, so therefore it doesn't become, according to them, Rabbi Meir says it's not a good thing, they hold it is considered to be a good thing. So even though the get isn't a good thing, but the shichrur is. So they don't, according to the Rabbanan, it's not the same get in Hashem. There's only three things, not four. Now, Bishlam al-Rabbanan, I understand why we need to count. I mean, normally we say, I know how to count by myself. And if you're going to list three cases, why do you have to say, in three cases? So, okay, it makes sense to say in three cases, if you are the Rabbanan of Rabbi Meir, because you want to make it very clear, don't listen to the man behind the curtain who's claiming there's another case. There are three cases, and only three cases, and these are the three cases. But when it comes to the similarity between Gitei Noshim and Gitei Avadim, in terms of Chazara, we definitely disagree. And it's advantageous for the Eved to be Meshuchrar, and therefore the moment that the Shliach gets it, he's Meshuchrar. Okay, so that explains why he says the Minyana. That's to be Mamayit Rabbi Meir. Don't believe Rabbi Meir. But why does Rabbi Meir have to count four? Rabbi Meir could just say, there's also another way. And I'll know that 3 + 1 = 4. Rabbi Meir, therefore, in saying four, he must be coming to tell me 4 and not 5. Well, okay, so what would be that fifth thing that Rabbi Meir is coming to exclude that he has in mind? That is because there is a braita that can get you very confused. And that is the following case. Lebuta Adatanya. Edim she'en yode'im lachtom, bekara'in lehem niyar chalak, umimal'in et hakira'im diyo. Suppose you're in a tough place. You are an aide, and the husband is asking you to sign a get as he is about to depart to overseas and may never return. This may be the last chance that you have to protect his wife from evil. You have a slight problem in that you don't know how to write. Okay, so how exactly do you sign the get? So what we do is, there's a big machlokas how to understand this. This is a major sugya. Again, it's not for us over here because we're only looking for the number of things that are similar. But according to Rashi, what you do is you make an invisible indentation just with a fingernail or whatever on the paper, and then they can see that and they can follow the lines with ink. And there, mamalim v'ata kira'im diyo. Now, in the Yerushalmi, and that's Tosis brings, this doesn't make any sense because then it's not the signature of the witnesses. It's the signature of the person who made the, I mean, this would be like saying that you are Picasso because you filled in a Picasso by the numbers, you know. I mean, so in what sense is this exactly the signature of the Eidim? So the way that Tosis and Yerushalmi understand it, it doesn't mean you indent the paper. It means you create a stencil. You cut through the paper entirely is the meaning of Mikarin. And so as the Yerushalmi says, well, I mean, but a stencil is basically printing. It's not a handwriting. So what makes it useful as a signature? So the Yerushalmi says it's talking about you create a stencil and the Eidim do not fill in the area of the stencil. Rather, they write within the area of the stencil. So in other words, it gives them a general contour of what the letter looks like, but they still have to write the letter in their own shaky hand. And so Memela, it turns out to be very idiosyncratic. And therefore, it's their own kitab. Okay, again, it's a big sugya, not necessarily for us to go into over here. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, where is this halacha true? Begitei nashim, avo shechurei avadim, or any other shtar, im yodim likrot v'lachtom chotmim, v'im lav en chotmim. If they know how to read and write, So then, fine, they can sign. But if they don't know how to read and write, so they cannot sign. So in other words, what we're talking about over here is an emergency. And the emergency we only create in the case of Gita Nashim to help her avoid Igun, or to help her avoid a situation where she falls to Yibum. So the Baal is about to possibly disappear, or perhaps he's dying. This is the last chance. There's nobody else around to sign. We'll accept this only under such circumstances. But when it comes to any other shtar, including Shichrurei Avadim, we will not accept it. Hey, what's this business about reading? They know how to read and write. What does read have to do? We never talked about reading. Now all of a sudden it's reading and writing? Kriya Mantachar Shmei, who ever said anything about reading? So that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel now suddenly comes up and says, no, actually, if they don't know how to read and write, I never said anything about that. So obviously, Chesurim Mechasra, this Brisa is missing a little piece. V'achi katani. It should actually say that according to the Tanna Kama, Edim She'en Yodim Likrot, if they don't know what it is that they'd be signing on because they don't know how to read, they know about the event, but they don't know what it says in this document about the event. So they are Edim that can say, yes, we actually did see this loan. But, I mean, you're telling them, so just sign here. Haha, just sign here. What it says over there is, I do hereby agree to $1 million mortgage on my home at 25%. I mean, I don't know what it's signing. What in the world? How could they sign? So they have to be able to read. So therefore, says the Tanna Kamma, that if they don't know how to read, then if you read the document in front of them, so now they know that this document refers to the event that they're going to be giving testimony on, so then they can sign the document. And what if they don't know how to write? She'enu yodim lachtom mikar'in lahem. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, you've got to be able to read and write yourself. Okay, unless we're talking about a get. And that was what Rabbi Meir wants you to understand, that Gitei Nashim are not similar to Shichrurei Avadim in this case, because it's actually only the Gitei Nashim, as Reb Shimon ben Gamliel mentioned. So this would be true, and it gives you a reason for saying four. I don't understand what you mean. These are the only, it's three things or four things and nothing else that they're similar? I mean, we got tons of ways that they're similar. We have a Mishnah right up ahead. And he dies before the get is delivered. Because that is a performative shtar, and unless you have the actual das at that time, ain get li achar mita, and the get is not going to take effect until such a time that the actual get arrives. This is even if you hold, according to the Tanna Kamma, who says that once you gave it over to the shliach, you can't change your mind. That's true. You can't change your mind because now it's in the hands of the shliach and no longer in the hands because he was zocha in it. But Zocha in it does not mean that it became a get before the person actually has it. There's still the din of Vinatan, and therefore, it's still true. This is true according to everyone. And therefore, we should have listed this. On the other hand, if you said, give $100 to so-and-so, and he dies, they can give that money after he dies, because in this case, we're talking about a shchiv mira, it's kikshuvim u'misurim damu. So that could be given li'achar misa. Why didn't you mention that? That there's a special din of li'achar misa? No, says the Gemara. We're talking about things that would not be true about anything else but the gittin of women and shichurei avonim. But anything that is true about other things, that's not interesting to us, because that's a more universal statement and doesn't reflect on the special relationship of Gitei Nashim to Shichrurei Avonim. This din applies to other shtarot. I'll prove it to you, because the Shalach Ravi Mishmei de Rebbe Abo have a Yodim. I want you to make very clear that Rebbe Lazar sent an important message to the Gola, and he sent this message in the name of Rav, Bishum Rabbeinu, a Shchiv Meira, who said, write that so-and-so gets $100 in a contract and he dies, you do not do that after Misa. If he ends up dying before you had a chance to write that contract and deliver it, you cannot do it. Why? I thought we said that divrei shchibera are k'ktuvim u'k'bisurim damu. But in this case, since he specified that he wants you to write that shtar, maybe he didn't want to utilize the special takana of a shchiv mira. Maybe he actually wanted this to be achieved by a performative shtar. And therefore, you cannot write a performative shtar, even in terms of transferring property, li'achar misa, which means that this specific case that you're saying, oh, we got another case in which gita and ashmi shechurei avonim are the same. Yes, they are the same, but they're also the same as any other performative shtar. And transferring property in a shtar is performative. It's only the shtar is a raya that's not performative, right? But this is performative, and therefore, shema logam arlak no toela b'shtar. In this case, why did the Shchiv Meira say write a shtar? Maybe he meant to write a shtar not as proof, but to write a shtar as the transference. And then it would be the same as Gitei Nashim and Shechurei Avanim. So you see, Ein Shtar Li'achar Mita is true about everything. At that point, it would belong to the Yorshim, the money would not belong to him to be able to define. Therefore, I don't mention that case. Sure, there's lots of cases. Okay, what about Lishma? How about the fact that a normal shtar does not have to be written Lishma, obviously, but Gitei Nashim and Shechurei Avonim have to be written Lishma? Why didn't we mention that? So I understand that you could say, according to Rabbah, that the din of Molech Umevi, that he has to say Lefanai Nichtav Lefanai Nichtam, that that's because of Lishma. So you can say, according to Rabbah, okay, we included Lishma in that statement, which is our Mishnah, that this is one of the ways that Shavu Gitei Nashim Legit Lishichurei Avonim. But according to Rava, that it does not have anything to do with Lishma, why don't we mention Lishma? Furthermore, I have another problem. There's another din that only applies to Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avonim, and that is Vikatavla Vinatan, remember? Which is the meaning of Ein Kotvim B'Mechubar. There can't be any step necessary between the writing and the delivery, such as cutting down the shtar, cutting the horn off of the animal, whatever it is, that is not a kosher get. Well, that certainly would be kosher by any other type of shtar. I mean, if you wanted to write on a tree, I grant this property to so-and-so, you know, and you then cut down the tree and hand it to him, it's perfectly valid shtar. So why isn't this listed as a unique element of Gitei Nashim and Shechurei Avonim? So how do you explain the fact that you said, Said only four things. No. Wait a minute. You're misunderstanding us. We're coming to tell you things that are takonas derabbanan. There's tons of stuff that's the same midiraisa that we learn out la la mi isha. But all of the things that we're talking about over here are only psule derabbanan. So this idea of needing to say v'nai nechtam, or the idea that if you have an eight kusi, all of this stuff, that's all midrabbana, which we'll see why the kusi is only midrabbana. And therefore, we're not going to mention it. Well, wait a minute. You mentioned the fact that a secular court, a civil court, that issues Gitei Nashim and Shechurei Avonim is not kosher. That's a deraisa. And you're claiming you're only talking about derabbanans. How would that be a derabbanan? Arkaot shalot de kochavim, which is a psula deraisa, and it does mention it? It's not a deraisa. It's not? No. Because remember that we've spoken about many times the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar about whether it's the edei chatima that are central to the kritut haget or whether it's the edei misira that are central, correct? So if you give over an unsigned get, according to Rabbi Elazar, and there are witnesses that witness the handing over, that's called Edei Mesira, according to Rabbi Elazar, that's perfectly okay. Now, the question of whether a kosher get written by a sofer, lishma, and there's signatures on it, that are signatures of goyim from a civil court is actually kosher, according to Rabbi Elazar, as long as there were Eidei Mesira. The only reason that it's not kosher, remember, is because we have the idea, Aliyah by the Rabbi Elazar, and I think I forgot to ask Avi to write this one down, but maybe we did. You'll remember, I hope. Mizuyaf mitocho. So if there's something about the get that is mizuyaf mitocho, and that is, well, prima facie, this is false because it's got phony witnesses, then Rabbi Elazar agrees. And this is a gezeira min rabbona. Why? We're worried that if you're going to think that these Eidim are kosher, you would rely on them even to be Eidim Isira. No, so therefore we will postulate min rabbonin. But the case as given is a drabbonin way that these two situations, Gitei Nashim Mashiach and Rurei Avadim, are actually similar to each other. And that's why we listed it. It's only a drabbonin and not a deraisa. But wait a second. Later on, which is basically the end of the Mishnah, it says that according to Rabbi Shimon, af elu kesherim. Not true. Even a get and a shichur avodim given from a civil court are kosher. And Rabbi Zera explained, how could anybody say such a crazy thing? Ah, it's because Yorad Rabbi Shimon l'shitatosh Rabbi Elazar, the Omer Eidei Mesira Kartik. He understood that the halacha is Aliba the Rabbi Elazar, who holds that we don't even need Eidim. And that's why he's saying that if it's a secular court in which a Jew wrote the get and so on, and it was given in front of Eidei Mesira, it's kosher. So doesn't that imply that the Tanakama was arguing with Rabbi Shimon and says it's not kosher, and that it means that it would be, that means according to the Tanakama, the issue is that you need Eidei Chatima, so then it would be Pasul Midiraisa. So then that means you can't say what you're saying, that the Tanakama also agrees with Rabbi Elazar. So then how did Rabbi Zeir explain the Machlokas? Oh, Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Elazar. Everybody you're saying now agrees with Rabbi Elazar. Ah, but there's a difference. The difference is, what's the name of the witness who signed? Is it Christopher von Hoffmann? Well, then everybody knows this guy is not Jewish. Okay, so then in that case, there's no chance that I would accept the same get, and I would understand that that get is a get that is really only kosher because of the Eidei Mesira, and the court happened to stamp it with their own witnesses and so on and so forth. That's the difference between them. The Tanakama holds, I don't care what his name is. We're always going to passel a get, I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar, that is Mizuyav Mitochot. This is a important word in our Masechet, and Kedai for Gavi to write down. Shemot Muvakim. So Shemot Muvakim are names that are clearly non-Jewish names that Jews do not utilize, and therefore would be an immediate assumption that we're talking about a goy. Reb Shimon holds, even that is enough to make it not Mizuyaf Mitocho. Okay, I got another problem. How about the case of Chazora? When you change your mind about sending that get, that is a deraisa, my friend. I mean, he's not a shliach. You're talking about Eish es Ish. So I don't understand why you're saying, and that is only drabbanan. Like, heck, that's only drabbanan. You see, you're only listing things that are drabbanan. How is that only a drabbanan? That's about a deraisa as you can get. Ooh, okay, I didn't think of that one. Okay, scratch all of our discussion. Let's go back to the drawing boards. Actually, when we said that we're only listing things in answer to the question, why don't we have Lishma, why don't we have the Mechubar LaKarka, we answered that we're only talking about things that are Drabbanan. Okay, that obviously is not the right answer. You know what the right answer should have been? Helakikatani. We're only mentioning those issues that do not apply to Shtarot of Kiddushin, because you can write a Shtar Erisin, Hareyat Mekudeshetli, with the Shtar, right? So if this is something that is true about Kiddushin as well, we don't bother mentioning it. And it happens to be that in the same way that we have a La La Mi'isha that tells us that Shichrurei Avodim and Gitei Noshim are the same, we also have the Pasuk of V'yatza Mi'beto V'hayeta Li'ishacher. That means that the Torah is comparing Yitzia, which is Gerushin, to Havaya Vahayata, which is Kiddusha. And that is a Hekesh. And that means that all of the dinim that would be applicable to a shtar of Gerishin would be applicable to a shtar of Kiddushin. And that means that most of the things are not going to be listed here because we're not talking about things that are common to the entire structure of Kiddushin, Gerishin, and Shechrurei Avadim. That includes, of course, Lishma, includes Bechubar Lekarka, because that is true about Kiddushin as well. But the things that we just mentioned, B'fanai Nechtav V'fanai Nechtan, that's because of the chashash of Irur HaBaal. That does not apply to Kiddushin. And what about the din of a Kuti? That's only because it's an emergency, because the guy is dying. Obviously, that also does not apply to the case of a Kiddusha Isha. And when we're talking about the issue of civil courts, and we were afraid that you will have Ede Mesira, that has nothing to do with Kiddushin, because Lamaisa, once she's Mekabelet Kiddushin in front of Edim that are Jewish, that is an act of Kiddushin, and therefore it's irrelevant. What that's true about everyone, it has nothing to do with the Ede Mesira. It's an act of Kiddushin in front of witnesses. That's what defines Kiddushin. So Mamela, those things were not Nogei Kiddushin. They're only Nogei Agitei Noshim and Shechrurei Avodim. Ha ha. Yeah? What about the thing that we're talking about? We've been talking about Chazara. Excuse me? You gave me this teretz to answer my problem with the fact that if he changes his mind, that it's a D'oraisa. And he's, oh, right. Okay, fine. So we're talking about Kiddushin. Well, that's true about Kiddushin. Isn't Chazara true about Kiddushin as well? If the guy changes his mind, he says to somebody, give this shtar erusin to this woman. I mean, until the woman gets the shtar, he can change his mind and say, never mind, I don't want to marry her. No, don't give it to her. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't be able to give it to her in that case. So then if that's the point, then the very question that I asked you is the exact same question. You didn't change anything by talking about Kiddushin. I can't be a shliach to bring her Kiddushin that isn't a shtar Kiddushin because you don't want it to be. Yes, that's true. However, there is certainly a circumstance, this is the way Rashi understands it, Tosfos understands slightly different, there's certainly a circumstance in which that's not the case, because how about if you're talking about a shlichut that is being done bal korche? Remember, it is possible to force a get on a woman. It is possible to force a shechur aved, and it has nothing to do with their willingness to be divorced or their willingness to be, so the Bezdik can sometimes do that. So in that, obviously, there is never any time that you can force a Kiddushin on someone. Therefore, the Shlichut, in the case of Chazara, is different. Tosus understands it to mean that it is theoretically different. It means another quality of Shlichut. And therefore, we can talk about it. It doesn't have to be this very same case. Rashi is talking about a case of where it was being done Bal Korka. But the bottom line is, this halacha would be applicable at times for sure only to Gitei Noshim and Shechrurei Avodim, which is where it's coming Bal Korche, and will never ever to be applicable by the case of Kiddushin. Mm-hmm.